It's 8:29 on the Big J Show in the studio. We got our friends, Kathy and Aaron from Rimrock Foundation. Am I still allowed to say foundation?
If you'd like. Okay. You can, yes.
But I'm gonna say from Rimrock.
I know you are.
You're from Rimrock.
We're from Rimrock.
Come on. That's come right. on. I know That's the right. things. Kathy, let's talk the big news. You guys got to hang out with the VP.
We did. It was an amazing week. It was a whirlwind week. If you've never been around the Secret Service, the advanced teams, you know, you have to be able to change midstream, and we can't say enough about our team. Man, it was awesome. Everybody was involved. It was just a great day. And also to be able to have him understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm. We had Senator Daines in a couple months ago. It was a couple months ago, and he was giving kind of a town hall at Rimrock, which was amazing. And then he went to Willow Way, and that's where this whole thing started.
Oh, awesome.
He was supposed to be at Willow Way for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and he was there for an hour and a half. It was great.
Wow.
Just to have him see firsthand what treatment can do. Mm-hmm. And if you were able to hear the vice president's address, one of the things that I continue to push on, we can't arrest our way out of this. It has to be that four-pronged approach: prevention, treatment, and enforcement.
Yeah.
So
you can't arrest addiction away.
No, you can't. And so it was a great great community event. There was 65, I think, people in the main address. And before that, he got to spend, I think it was half an hour with the Substance Abuse Coalition, which is one of the most amazing groups of people. What you continue to see in the world of nonprofit is people getting together, mm-hmm. rather than everybody trying to compete for the dollars, for grant dollars. They're coming together as a coalition and saying, what can we do together? So that's what was great. They got to sit down and talk to him for about 20 minutes to half an hour before he came and addressed the whole group. And then you've seen the pictures of them at Willow with Lauren. That's my favorite picture, when she's high-fiving the vice president. It's kind of cool.
So Willow Way, is it just a normal house, like a residential home? I mean, obviously, the structure, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many people are there?
There's six moms.
Okay.
And they can have up to three kiddos. And I can't remember how many there is over there right now. But they have to be under the age of 11. And it is. It's a normal house. You know, the kids go to daycare. They go to school. The moms are in treatment. It's an 18-month program. So when they're kind of finishing their treatment, then they're working on life skills. They're working on budgeting. They're working on, if they don't have their GED, they'll get their GED.
I love it.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Just
such a hands-on
program.
Way of like making sure everybody gets what they need and gets, you know, set up for success.
Exactly.
So he said, I would love for my friend to go to Willow Way. Is there like a wait list? Yeah, like is that something you go to Rimrock and then you guys recommend them for Willow Way?
Correct. Okay. Yes. You can always reach our admissions team. And they can, you know, we have lots of different programs, and Aaron can talk a little bit about that more too. There's no cookie cutter. So when you come in and go through our assessments, they look at what program is going to be best for your success. And, you know, maybe it is inpatient. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's intensive outpatient. Maybe it's day treatment. And that's what's really exciting about Rimrock, is that you're not going to go in and go, okay, you're 32 years old, you're a man, you're going to go through this. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's cookie cutter. Or not
cookie,
cookie
cutter.
No, it's not. I was in my head, I'm like, wait, no.
No.
As you said, Willow Way and Michelle's house are such awesome opportunities for recovering mothers.
They are.
And a good question, too. How do people pay for recovery when they don't have the means, and if their family's given up on them? Because there's obviously systems and support and, you know, resources
there
out there.
There is, and we do accept Medicaid. So, and there's, you know, private insurance and mm-hmm. self-pays. That's another thing that, you know, our financial team, you know, that's the continuum care that Rimrock has. Everybody is in a different situation. We're going to meet you where you are, and we're going to see what we can do.
Yeah, that's why we can just say, get a hold of them too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll explain to you how all that works and what they can connect for you. And so, yeah, don't ever let that be a hindrance to contacting Rimrock.
No, absolutely not.
So you said, what is the success rate for recovery? That seems rough, because it seems like a breakup, you know, it'd be so different,
it's,
you know,
a tough
for everything.
One. It is. Again, I keep saying it's everybody's individual. One of the statistics when I was first learning all the programs is, this is average. Now, this is not everybody. That average someone that's going through treatment will go through treatment seven times,
mm-hmm.
relapse seven times. And relapse is not the failure. Relapse, as, again, Erin is our expert, she'll talk about that. But, you know, we coach to that. How do you, you know, it's not an all or nothing. It's not, oh my gosh, you relapsed, you're done. It's how do you handle the relapse? Mm-hmm. How do you get through the next step and continue on your journey? So, success is an interesting thing.
Yeah. You're talking, you know, about recovery and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's such an individual thing for every individual person, and it's not instant and it's not cookie cutter. Like you said, I feel like it's like going to the gym where somebody would say, well, what's the success rate of people that sign up for a gym and get super ripped? It's like, it's not necessarily 100%, no. Not even close to that, but it's still, the tool is there and you get out of it what you want out of it and what you put into it. It's like, you can't guarantee that you go to a gym and you're going to get ripped. You can't guarantee if you sign up for recovery, everybody comes out recovered. I mean,
right. Well, it's just like a diabetic. You know, it's something that you're going to manage that disease the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Does it mean you're never going to have a cookie or a Snicker bar? No, it doesn't. It just means that you're going to manage it and how to, you know, that's the tools that our team delivers to our patients is how do you manage that through the rest of your life and there what does that look like?
Yeah, giving you the tools and, you know, stuff you need to make those decisions. Speaking of the decisions, we've got our expert here, Erin. Good morning, and tell people what you do at Rimrock.
Good morning, Big J. I am a inpatient and day treatment counselor right now at Rimrock. I've been here for going on 3 years, and I just want to clarify, I'm definitely not an expert.
Yeah, you are.
I am just someone who is in recovery and, you know, believes really strongly in the mission of Rimrock and what we do here.
I love it. I love it. Tell a little bit, I mean, tell us about your story. We hear you in the commercials, so some people do know your story, but they don't know that you are that story. You, as you said, you're in recovery. You've been through it.
Right. I always kind of like to joke that I think I might have been born an alcoholic. I started drinking at around the age of 12. And I distinctly remember the first time and absolutely loving it. So I can identify now that I don't think I really had a choice.
It's really interesting. I mean, because you say that, I was the opposite. I mean, so as you said, I mean, there is something there. When I tried alcohol when I was young, I thought like, ugh, why do they do this? And like, who would ever do? I mean, so there is something there. I mean, the fact that you responded positively to it, I responded negatively.
And I got incredibly sick, so it was not a pleasant experience, but I just remember how it made me feel on the inside. And it was like this overwhelming sense of relief and calm from everything that was going on outside and inside my head and heart.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting. And so then you moved on from alcohol and you dabbled.
Yep, and so I progressed to smoking cannabis. By the age of 15, I had started using methamphetamine, MDMA, and, you know, my drug of choice was more.
Wow. It's crazy to think. I mean, because, like, meth is the one that gets the rest of them. Like, you know, I've heard about and I've seen. But meth, it's like, once you say you did meth, it's like, it's mind-boggling because I've never tried it, you know, which I think is good, right? I shouldn't try it.
Don't ever try it. And there's a reason they have that billboard that says not even once, because your brain chemically is flooded with so much dopamine, which is the natural pleasure receptor neurotransmitter, and methamphetamine floods the brain with 200-300% of any natural experience. The best sex, the best, you know, Krispy Kreme, chocolate
whatever
cake,
it is.
Doesn't matter what it is, the best. And so your brain automatically says, oh my gosh, what is this? We want more of this. We don't care about anything else.
Oh. Which is the scary part. I mean, as we see in the community, you know, I feel like in seeing you, you know, and I think hearing from you is so good for people because there's this weird stigma. And I think it's because the meth thing is so fairly new, you know, whereas like we've been fighting, you know, pot since the, you know, Reefer Madness days. Like everybody's aware of where they stand on that. Whereas meth is so new relatively, I feel that everybody lumps people into the like meth head category of like you live out, you know, so they picture an exact type of a person and they don't until they realize like I have people that I know that were professionals or, you know, really upstanding. Many people that tried meth and got hooked and went down that route, and you realize it's not a certain type of people. Like it's the fact that meth is just such a crazy drug.
And you know, the interesting thing with addiction is it does not discriminate. Mm-hmm. Nobody, it affects different ethnicities at different rates, but nobody is immune to addiction. It is a chronic disease and has the expression rate just like diabetes, breast cancer, those different chronic diseases as well.
There you go. And it's so scary. I mean, what was it like? Was that the hard? I mean, you mentioned other substances and stuff. Was getting off of meth by far the hardest, or were they all pretty tough?
I think they're all very tough.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are fun, obviously. Like, yeah, it's not like, oh, alcohol's easy. But.
You know, I guess for me, and in the recovery world, we talk about hitting bottom. And so I hit my bottom pretty early in regards to my drug use. And so I knew very early on that if I returned to using drugs, I was going to die. And so that has made it easier in that sense. There was no question of if I could ever use normally, control it. I think for me, my biggest battle has been alcohol, because I have continually thought that I was smarter than alcohol, and turns out I'm not.
There you go. And then, I mean, your thought, though, on that, like trying to say, like, oh, I've got a problem with alcohol, I'm going to go to treatment to learn how to drink alcohol.
Oh, my gosh.
Responsibly.
Yes.
That's a common thing. Back in the day, Ozzy Osbourne showed up at the Betty Ford Clinic with bottles of booze in his hands because he thought, like, oh, they're sending me there to learn how to drink properly.
Right.
And no, they're sending you there because you cannot drink.
And, you know, because I went to treatment when I was 20. And so going in, I knew, yes, okay, I'm going here. I'm going to have to quit doing drugs. But I had no idea that my alcohol addiction was as progressed. And so that was a really eye-opening and honestly terrifying experience, because the thought of living life sober when I first got to treatment was the scariest thing.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, yeah, you become so dependent in so many different ways, I think, on these substances that's your life. You know, I mean, that's how you operate. Yeah. So to try to shift everything and relearn how to operate.
You need to find a new normal there. You know, the things that, you know, your life revolved around in the past can't revolve around that. And so you're finding that new way to flood your brain with dopamine in a different way.
Absolutely.
Because I would do everything intoxicated. Snowboard, work. It didn't matter. There was a substance in my system.
Gosh, is it? And so what's a sign for somebody to get treatment, to get help? You know, because there's probably people out there that go, maybe I have a problem. I mean, obviously you had a problem. So there's different ends. There's people with no problem. And then there's people like you that are acknowledging, like, I'm going to die if I keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to quit, but I know where I'm at. What about in the middle for people that are like, do I have a problem?
That is a really hard question. And I think because the number one symptom across any addiction, regardless if it's shopping, gambling, sex, food, is denial. And because the person in the addiction has denial that there's a problem. I know for me, until I had the event that opened my eyes, I thought everyone else was the enemy. And if they would just get off my back, everything would be okay. And I had it under control. And so, you know, I knew drugs were not like a normal thing, but I was really
they become
angry.
Normal.
Maybe. Yeah.
In your life, they become your new normal. I'm sure once you start using it. And like you said, I mean, if you're in denial, I'm fine. You know, leave me alone. Like, I'm operating, I'm alive, I'm getting through the day. Like, stop.
Snowboarding.
Yeah, snowboarding. Like, yeah, stop telling me how to, you know, enjoy myself and be fine. Like, just because you guys don't do it, it's my style.
You know, and how we diagnose addiction is through identifying the negative consequences in a person's life. And so, you know, you can go online and identify and, you know, Google what are the diagnosing factors for addiction. And I always, whenever I do an assessment, I'll give them the DSM diagnosing material and say, read this. What do you think? Do you think you meet any of those? And it is amazing that people will sit down, read it, and be like, oh my gosh, I have like 8 of those.
Yeah.
And so that is a really, for me, knowledge is an incredibly powerful component.
I love it. What,
amazing.
When people come into Rimrock, I mean, why do you think Rimrock's so special? I mean, is it just getting help in general that's so important? I mean, what sets Rimrock apart? Because you guys just have such great people and such great, you know, I mean, I just feel like you're such an like beacon on the hill here in Billings, like combating this problem. Like, why is it just all the people that are there and all the resources?
Absolutely. The staff at Rimrock is amazing. Our CEO Lynette, our COO Corley, some of the most phenomenal women I have ever met, Malcolm, and they are there because they care. This is not a job. This is
their life.
Life.
We live this.
And, you know, we are fighting a battle every single day. And so the mission is to help save lives. We are not in a business of, you know, supplying materials or whatever. You know, for us, our business is trying to save lives. Mm-hmm. And every person there that I have met and work with, that's why we're there. And that's the goal. And so to me, that is beyond powerful. And, you know, do we all struggle? Absolutely. But the overall mission and the resources and the diverse continuum of care that is available exceeds anything that, you know.
Anything around. Yeah. I love it. And what would you say, Aaron, to an addict out there, you know, to somebody that's listening, whether they're fully acknowledging the fact that they're an addict or not? I mean, somebody that's thinking, you know, that might be in the back of their mind kind of going, I think I might have a problem here. What would you tell them about? I mean, you're somebody who went through it and now is living.
I would tell them you're not alone. And, you know,
Be ashamed.
The pain, all the horrible choices. I know for me, when I went to treatment, I hated myself. I could not even look in the mirror. And so through recovery, I have been able to identify and heal that I am not my addiction. And the horrible things that I did in my addiction and the people that I hurt, that is not who I truly am. And so being able to separate the disease from the person, and it's okay. Like, you are not alone. Come ask for help. We will do anything in our power to help you.
And another thing to realize, too, where you said you are not your addiction and you are not those things that come out of the addiction, you, once you get help, will show that to everybody else, too.
Absolutely.
Everybody around you that's looking at you going like, gosh, you're kind of a scumbag right now, Jeff. Once you get out of it, they'll realize, oh, yes, that was your addiction. That is not who you are. And I knew that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is one of the hardest things, because no other disease in this world, I feel, destroys love and families and communities like addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, it just hones in on the worst that can come out of us.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, as an illness like that, yeah, what other illness, you know? I mean, my mom has cancer, but she doesn't steal my car to pay for her chemo.
Absolutely. Right. So that really, if she did, like, that would affect your ability to have empathy for her and want to help her.
So that's where it's so great, where if you as an addict or somebody with an issue can acknowledge it, start getting that help, then everybody on the outside will start realizing, like, okay, you were not acting on your own volition here. You were acting on behalf. You were a puppet, essentially. The addiction's taking control.
And I think the most important thing is, like what I said earlier about, did I have a choice if I was an alcoholic? I don't think so. But I have a choice about what I'm going to do about it. So it does not excuse my bad behavior or my bad choices or the people and things that I did and hurt. But
it explains them.
Yes.
I mean, it puts a subtext on them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the asterisk next to, you know, Barry Bonds' home runs, you know, that said, well, he was also on substance, you know.
Right.
It explains, like, yeah, I did those things, but also understand it was under, you know, some other time. And so people asking a lot of questions about cost, all this stuff. Just get a hold of Rimrock, you guys. They'll explain different programs that are available, how funding works, all that stuff.
And they can reach out to us on our website and send us a message. We get to them within an hour at the latest. We've gotten people.
Yeah. Our admissions team is awesome. Amazing. So they will get back to you and do everything that we can to connect people to the resources that they need.
I love it. Jessica said, I've got a friend that's been in but needs to go in again. This girl's going to make me cry. She's so on point. And somebody said, I need to say thank you to Aaron from the bottom of my heart. She's been a great counselor to my husband, Stephen, and has helped him change his entire life and our life for the better. So thank you so much. That's got to be incredible, right? To not only know that you've changed it, Aaron, but that you are helping other people. I mean, I see you getting a little emotional there, and it's like, I get it.
Yeah. Because, and the reality is the only reason I'm here today is because of the people who supported me. And the 12-step community, the recovery community. Billings has an amazing recovery community. Mm-hmm. And the best way to fight addiction is through connection and love. And that's why, like, our pump and run that's coming up, so many people are affected by addiction. And everyone's wondering, what do we do? How do we help? Because it's so scary, so uncomfortable. And so the reality is coming together, showing up. And if you know someone who has been affected by addiction, come to our event.
Mm-hmm.
Ask how you can get involved. And I believe that one person can change the world because they changed me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be here today without the amazing sober people in my life.
I love it. I love those sober people, and I love what they were able to do for you, and that you're returning the favor. And speaking of pump and run, Kathy, give us some deets here on the pump and run. Kind of a fun addiction, not fun, treating addiction, very necessary, but not like a super upbeat thing to talk about.
That's
but
right.
Pump and run, a fun,
that,
upbeat thing to focus here on,
right.
on the serious issues. Yeah.
August 3rd. At the zoo, who doesn't like to come out and like run at the zoo?
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about going across different, you know, the streets or anything.
Yeah.
This is our annual fundraiser. It is on August 3rd. The zoo, it's actually two events. You can do the pump part, which is the bench press, and you can take time off of your 5K. Those of us that don't run 5Ks very much, you can do some bench presses. And then you do the 5K afterwards, or you can just come out and do the 5K. And yes, you can walk or run or push your stroller, and you get into the zoo for the day. So it's a family
Perfect.
Event. It's and what is so cool about this event is it's totally a community event. Our sponsor list is amazing. We've got banks. We've got both First Interstate Bank and Rocky Mountain Bank. We've got EXP Realty. It's just amazing the people that continue, Nine Round. They're one of our newest sponsors.
Love
Yellowstone
it.
Fitness, Payne West. It's amazing how this community just goes, yeah, we want to help. We want to get everybody together. And I've heard that this year we have like the most amazing official starter like in the whole.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Everybody's kind of asking me, do you want to share who that's going to be, or do we wait till next month?
I think we can share it. It might be me.
I think it is you. You can come and hang out with Big J,
yeah.
And I think McLovin might be there at the zoo.
He's going to be running. You'll have to catch him.
That's right.
He said he's doing the 5K five times. So yeah. He'll be pumping the whole time.
And then we're also going to, like we said, Nine Rounds is came on board with us this year because we're going to have so many people. We don't want to have people not be able to do the bench press.
Mm-hmm.
That we're also going to have a heavy bag out there so you can do some punches
nice.
Instead of doing the bench press. So, we have a big goal this year. We want to, everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I think we can get 500 people out there just to kind of have a great day. And with the official starter, come on.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is this
exactly.
going to be?
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
People have questions, so where do they go? There's got to be more info about this. Is there
yep.
Facebook, website?
Both. You can go to, rimrock.org, and you can click on our events. There's banners going across the top. Our Facebook page is amazing. You can give us a call. It's a fun event. Like I said, it's just to come out and enjoy it.
There
have
you go.
Day and
exactly.
Some fun.
I love it.
Get, yeah.
You guys pump and run.
Yes.
Rimrock's putting it on again. So check it out. Sign up. Be a part of it. Aaron, I got to say thank you so much for coming up. Thank
Absolutely.
You for turning your life around, for using your experience to help others, and not only the work you do at Rimrock, but the commercials and coming up here. I feel like a lot of that, you explaining your story and stuff, really kind of cracks the egg for a lot of people.
It
makes them realize, like, I don't need to be ashamed of this. I don't,
Absolutely.
I can ask for help. And so thank you. I know you're making a difference, but I want to tell you as well. And Kathy, thank you as
well.
Welcome. You're always so pleasant and fun, and you brighten my mornings.
We'll see you next month.
And there we go, you guys. Rimrock, make the call. If it's for you, for a friend, whatever, they're happy to answer your questions. Just open that dialogue with them and start the conversation. Again, thank you so much, ladies.